Oh, yeah.
We are going to start this session. We'll start with the reading the Heart Sutra in the prayer book. And while we are reading the Heart Sutra, as we earlier in the previous session, we had imagined the presence of the Buddha and all those great teachers, and once again reinforce the presence of the Buddha in front of us, with his all the great qualities, and also his kindness of giving these amazing teachings, including the teaching that we are going to read, the Heart Sutra. And also read the Heart Sutra, you know, in an atmosphere of not just the Buddha and all those great teachers are present in front of us, ourselves, with the, you know, spiritual friends in here, and also imagine all those, you know, the living beings like ourselves, have a strong wish, yearning, be free from any form of difficulties, and a strong yearning or wishes to have whatever happiness, joy, and fulfillment to be experienced. And those human beings are also, have in our mind while we are reading. And also, you know, of course, people who are able to contemplate the main topic, that is emptiness, that will be really, really nice to do while gently reading the Heart Sutra. People who have a little bit difficulty to straightway to do the contemplation, reflection on the topic, just simply, you know, the think, feel that kind of how nice, how amazing coming weeks, months, years, and decades may I be able to experience, may I be able to understand and to experience the teachings, the meaning of the teachings, like the Heart Sutra, you know, for my own well-beings, and also, you know, the well-beings of many, many living beings, have that kind of strong sense of, you know, the aspiration. So through that, now we'll read the Heart Sutra. Thus did I hear at one time the Bhagavan was dwelling in the Mars Virtuous Mountain in a, together with great community of monks and great community of bodhisattvas. At that time the Bhagavan was also observed categories of phenomena called profound perception. Also at that time the bodhisattva, Mahasattva, Arya Avalokiteshvara, looked upon by practice upon professional wisdom, and I beheld those five aggregates also empty of inherent nature. Then through the power of Buddha, the venerable Shariputra said this to the Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, Aya, Avalokiteshvara. How should some son of the lineage portray who wishes to practice the activity of profound professional wisdom? He said then to the venerable Shariputra, Mahasattva, said this to venerable Shariputra. Shariputra, any son of the lineage, or daughter of the lineage, who wishes to practice the wisdom, should look upon like this, correctly and repeatedly beholding those five aggregates, also empty of inherent nature. Form is empty, emptiness is form. Emptiness is not other than form. Form is also not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, discrimination, conversational factors, and consciousness are empty. Shariputra, likewise, all phenomena are emptiness, without characteristics, unproduced, unseized, stemless, and not without stain, not deficient, not fulfilled. Shariputra, therefore, in emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no discrimination, no conversational factors, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no visual form, no sound, no audio, no taste, no object of touch, and no phenomena. There is no eye element and so on up to including no mind element and no mental consciousness element. There is no ignorance, no extinction of ignorance, and so on up to including no aging and death, no extinction of aging and death. Similarly, there is no suffering, origination, cessation, and path. There is no exalted wisdom, no attainment, also no non-attainment. Shariputra, therefore, because there is no attainment, Bodhisattva renounce and dwell in the professional wisdom, the mind without obscuration, without fear. Having completely passed beyond error, there is such end point of nirvana. All the Buddhas who dwell in the three times and also manifestly completely awaken to the unsurpassable, perfect, complete enlightenment in the reliance on the professional wisdom. Therefore, the mantra of professional wisdom, the mantra of great knowledge, the unsurpassed mantra, the mantra equal to unequal, the mantra that thoroughly pacifies all suffering, should be known as truth, since there is no false. The mantra of professional wisdom is declared. Dayatha gathe gathe para gathe para sam gathe bodhi soha. Shariputra, the Bodhisattva, Mahasattva should train in professional wisdom like that. Then the Bhagwan rose from the concentration, commanded the Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, Aya Avalokiteshvara, saying, well said, son of the lineage. It is like that. It is like one should practice profound professional, just as you have indicated. Even the Tathagatas rejoice. The Bhagwan, having thus spoken, the Venerable Shariputra, the Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, Aya Avalokiteshvara, those surrounding in their entireties, along with world of God, humans, asuras, and Gandavas, were overjoyed and highly praised. Oh, yeah. So now we will do a 10 minutes meditation. So this this session, I will talk to how to set the right balance. Right balance on the one hand, you know, really to meditate on, like, the, you know, the nature of the mind, and to build stability, clarity, and you know, the eventually with that stability and the clarity mind, gradually move into analytical mind and analyze, examine the, you know, the nature of the mind within the context of the Nagarjuna's view of emptiness. And you know, the, even if we you know, the, have realized, you know, the clear knowing and the empty nature of the mind is, you know, emptiness, as Heart Sutra mentioned, as Nagarjuna's, using some of the Nagarjuna's and those great Indian masters' argument, which we have, you know, briefly look at the Nagarjuna's, those eight lines in the first two verses of the perfection of the fundamental wisdom. And that's the one hand. On the other hand, the balance to be struck is the, you know, the having the you know, the emotional nurturing, emotional sort of cultivation, and that is very, very crucial. You know, the as Chandrakirti, this 7th century great Indian master, who wrote several very, very important, you know, the Buddhist Mahayana, Buddhist Madhyamika schools, philosophical texts, like the Introduction to Middle Way, as a commentary or as a supplement for the Nagarjuna's fundamental wisdoms. And there's his own text, Clear Words, and there are some other, his own auto commentary on that Introduction to the Middle Way, and also a few important Guhyasamaja commentaries, Vajrayana texts. So this master, you know, nicely illustrated at the end of the Introduction to Middle Way, the 6th chapter. The chapter itself has 10 chapters, and this 10 chapters are taught according to the 10, you know, the 10 perfections, 10 perfections, 6 perfections: generosity, ethics, patience, you know, joyous effort, and wisdom. Then the wisdom itself is divided into other, you know, the 4, there's a 10 perfections. When the perfections, 6 perfection, particularly the 6th one, is a little bit elaborated into 4, then there are 10 perfections. So he taught how he wrote this Introduction to Middle Way. He wrote, you know, taking these 10 subjects and divided into 10 chapters. And among the 10 chapters, the most, you know, the biggest portion of the text is the chapter 6. Chapter 6, where emptiness, which I briefly touched on yesterday when Geshe Champa Tekcho was teaching that text, you know, the some of the monks were complaining why, you know, they were talking about, you know, sprout and seeds, that text. And that 6th chapter is really the main chapter, which is the emptiness, topic is emptiness. And the end of that 6th chapter, after having a very detailed, nice, you know, the explanation on emptiness, and the end of that chapter, chapter 6, and how he concluded. He concluded, first I will say in Tibetan, Ngangbe jabutine kyu ngangbe, dundu tana gewe lungi shuktopki gewe yunde gyatso paru choktoto. So ngangbe gyabutini kyu ngangbayi. So, you know, these big birds, or sometimes also small birds, and here, they, you know, they, those big, you know, birds who cross, you know, the one continent to another continent, you know, they cross those big oceans. And when they cross those big oceans for 8-9 hours journey flying, and, you know, they, and they cross, though, you know, they do this long journey. Ngangbe gyabu tene kyu ngangbayi. Dundu tanna gewe longki shuktopki. And that, you know, the, they are cross these, you know, the big oceans with many hours by the two wings, two healthy wings, and supported by the, you know, some of those winds, you know, flying behind them. And with these, you know, things, supports or these facilities, these big birds are able to cross, you know, these big oceans for many hours. Ngangbe gyabu tene kyu ngangbe dundu tana gyawe lungi shukdopki gyawe yunde gyatso paru shokdoto. Similar to that, The bodhisattvas are, you know, for eons, you know, for eons, you know, with these two wings, the two wings of wisdom and method, and virtues like the winds, you know, behind, blowing behind, and their virtues, and these bodhisattvas are able to cross, you know, this for eons, you know, these bodhisattvas' activities, such as the six perfections, and manage to, you know, cultivate these amazing, you know, the qualities, the qualities of the Buddhas. You know, they manage to obtain, or they manage to nurtured those great qualities of the Buddhas. You know, the qualities of the Buddhas, like the great oceans, you know, that cannot be measured, cannot be, you know, the sort of cannot be measured. And like that, you know, the, so here, that is the really, you know, particularly people who are taking the teachings of the Buddha as a, your own spiritual journey. Among the teachings of the Buddha, you know, the following the Bodhisattva and the teachings, and the Vajra and the teachings, need that kind of combination. The combination of nurturing the wisdoms and also nurturing the emotions, or the methods, technically called. And with the, you know, the with the mass virtues, with the mass virtues, you know, huge virtues, activities. Of course, you know, the just people who are not in that kind of interest, but simply want to experience a calm, clear mind using some of these techniques taught by some of these great teachers, that's also perfectly fine. That also, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, the, if you are not interested in, you know, the teachings of the Buddha, or not necessarily want to follow, if you want to just simply use those techniques, you know, taught by these great teachers, in order to build calm, clear focus, and some kind of, you know, the sense of relaxation, sense of clarity, that's also perfectly fine. Then my comment here, what I'm making here, is people who have chosen, you know, by, in your case, because of your own choice, you know, I always make this small joke. For me, like me, you know, many Tibetans or many other, you know, Also in some of you, you know, your parents or forefathers' spiritual path is, you know, being Christian or you know, Christianity or Judaism. You know, maybe just because you are born in that, your parents take you to church. I mean, now the 21st century, you have right, you have choice. But in you know, middle of the 15th, 14th, or even those times, you don't have that much choice. You know, society push you that. So, in my case, similar to like that, you know, I was born in this family, a Tibetan family, and that's the way of life. Becoming Buddhist is not your choice; it is given to you. So, but in your case, it's not like that. You choose, you know. Of course, I don't know why you choose, you know. but you have selected, you have chosen. So in that case, then you know it is good to have the, you know, holistic practice, some kind of, you know, holistic practice. And this is what, you know, cultivation, nurturing wisdom, as well as nurturing, you know, the method or the emotion. And in that case, I'm talking about love, compassion, altruism. You know, and these are very, very important to nurture, you know, very deliberately, very intentionally, and in some cases systematically. Sometimes, you know, having a systematically working is quite useful. You know, they're quite useful. Sometimes I know people are quite, you know, resistant when you say system. Oh, I don't want to follow any system. You know, but sometimes when I say system, having some kind of structure, you know, structure, some of these great teachers for generations have gradually developed. And as I said the other day, use those structures as our framework, then build that. You know, very, very useful. Like the reading the Shantideva's Guide to the Bodhisattva Way of Life. Not just reading verbally, really spending time. Some of those, you know, the Shantideva's text, maybe the 9th chapter, the emptiness chapter, may have some little bit difficulty to understand. Otherwise, not that difficult to understand. Very, very easy to understand. You know, if you read those verses, the 8th chapter from verse 89, you know, down to end of that chapter. Those verses are really, really useful verses to be contemplated day by day, week by week. You know, the verses which explains this amazing technique, you know, the equalizing and exchanging oneself with others. Verses which helps very much to deal with the self-centered mind. So that sort of things, you know, emotionally nurturing, you know, our emotional, you know, nurturing our emotion, making strong, making, you know, have the strength and have the sort of what you call the skills. And that's very, very important, useful to do that. as Shantideva put it very nicely in his this same text, Guide to the Bodhisattva Way of Life, in the first chapter. Me tula tenis dungecho cheleto, tuti chini nyekawe mongbe tusu nimalo. Me tula tenisu. He again used a very, very nice, you know, the analogies, like the in the human body, human life, as a boat, as a ship, you know, meitula. Then so, depend on this human existence as a boat, as a ship, you know, to cross the ocean of suffering. Dungecho cheleto. Tudi chene nyekawe, that kind of ship, that kind of boat, that human existence that we have, it is not easy to be obtained again. Tudi chene nyekawe, mongbe tusu nyimalo. You know, don't sleep with your ignorance. You know, and that sort of, you know, very, very nice verse. So to encourage ourselves, to build, you know, that kind of enthusiasm, joyous effort, perseverance is very, very useful, you know, the tools that we can have. And to build these kind of, you know, tools like perseverance, joyous effort, will come, as I mentioned other day, when we reflect on some of these verses, meaning of these verses. And I think it is really, really nice to contemplate. And it is, you know, unless if we, even if we don't believe past lives, many past lives, many future lives in the future, but even just believing this is the one life, that's it. Even if that's the case, that we have that kind of belief, this, as I mentioned the other day, this human existence, as far as we know so far, among the millions of different species on this planet, it is a most, you know, the capable, you know, the species, emotionally and intellectually, you know, not necessarily physically most attractive body, you know, because you know the. Some birds are very, very attractive, I found. Amazingly beautiful, their feathers and their, how they sort of fly, how they try to attract their, you know, the partner and, you know, they say one particular, Tony looking at one. What? Okay. So the, you know, the, how sort of, you know, so that we as a human beings, you know, even in just believing this is the only life, we have that, you know, amazing mental sort of capabilities. And to use that amazing mental capabilities just simply to make our life, individual's life, or our family lives. Of course, family lives are important. Just if we look at in this kind of very narrow or small circle of, you know, the friends, relatives, families, well-beings, then we are not using the whole, you know, the capacity, potential of, you know, the, our human mind, emotions. So in that case, you know, the, then what should I do? Try to, even if at this stage we may not be able to contribute huge, you know, to the humanity or to the living beings, but trying itself, you know, is amazing to do. One of the great Tibetan teachers, you know, very, very nicely put it, saying, you know, eating human foods, living with the human communities, and you know, the experiencing human cultures, and you know, the day, the last day, when last day come, if I don't leave anything, any contribution for the future generation, for their well-being, then my life is not spent meaningfully. You know, that sort of things. And very, very nice, you know, even if we don't have any spiritual beliefs, future lives, past lives, but just even thinking this lifetime, you know, wanting to deliberately wanting to contribute something, even if it is very, very small, but wanting to contribute something for the others. You know, that other can be anybody, for their well-being. And that is really here we're talking about nurturing our emotions. You know, nurturing our emotions. And very, very useful. Then, of course, people who believe there are many lives in the past, there are many lives in the futures, and many of all those future lives are very much their future, you know, their destination, or their future, you know, the destination is very much dependent on these lives, you know, our actions, our activities, you know, then it completely makes sense, you know, to work, to use this human existence, you know, as wider as possible for the well-being of others, and those actions will have very, very, you know, positive results for the future. So those are the something that we need to think along the while we are meditating on the nature of the mind, along while we are meditating, you know, the clear light nature of the mind or emptiness nature of the mind. You know, these are, you know, holding altruistic mind is really something important to color, to influence that our those meditations. If our those meditations are not, you know, conjoined or influenced by this kind of good heart, you know, this kind of altruistic mind, then benefit will be very, very small, very narrow, very, very narrow. We may experience tremendous sense of relaxation, tremendous sense of peace, calmness, because of, you know, cessation of all those conceptualization, but not that much, huge, you know, the benefits to ourselves and to others. So I'm sure coming days, weeks, months, years, you may continue this meditation that we are learning, that we have learned a little bit, and we will continue next year. You know, always try to start with a good heart, with an altruistic mind. Either exactly what is how it is explained in the mind, in the Bodhisattva and the teachings, with those two aspirations or not, but at least, you know, start with a good heart, and then enter into meditation. You know, that will be, that way will really benefit ourselves very much, and also our meditation will be extremely rich, extremely rich. Otherwise, it will be quite narrow. You know, so do that, and that is my sort of last blah blah. You know, of course we have another session. That session we are going to spend with the refuge and holding the aspirational bodhicitta. I'll explain that at that session. So now we have 10 minutes. We are going to do a meditation.